like to get all together.
I know. Well, I don't want to do an automatic. There's an option to automatically record, but I don't want to do that because sometimes we have a little chit chat, you know, first. So.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
So let's see. I think we got Beth here.
Yes, I'm here.
Hello, Beth. Hi,
Beth.
Beth. Hi. Kumar, Manohar, Keith, Ram.
Ram Verma.
Andrew, Trish.
Okay, we got 9 people. That's pretty good.
Jay Saguru. Yeah, Rami's not here.
Oh, what happened to Rami?
He'll probably be here.
Because he's always early. He gets in from the rooftop.
yes.
Maybe it's raining.
Maybe it's raining in wherever he is, Bangalore.
Whoops, Kumar was saying. Well, what did you say, Kumar?
Actually, I tried calling him. He dropped me a message. He didn't join a call to call me.
Oh, okay.
But he's
okay.
Not picking. Might be sleeping.
Okay, that could be. I know it's very early there, right?
Yeah.
There's Keith. I can see your name's coming up, Keith, so I think it's picking your breathing up. the sound system is very sensitive, so whatever you do, it even if you breathe, you know, somewhat noisily, it will pick it up and thinks you want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try not to blink.
Don't blink.
Make sure you wear a mask, Keith.
yeah, maybe we should all be wearing masks here.
Indeed.
Oh, boy. What a time this is, huh?
Definitely.
Nobody could have foreseen this.
So did you put on the recording yet?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, yes, okay. It's recording.
You know, I did listen to some bhajans, you know, from Amma, because she's not doing her tour this summer. She's not coming to the U.S. So she had this 4-hour thing from Amma Puri, which is in Amrita Puri, which is in, I think, Kerala, where she has her ashram. And so she did her whole program just virtually. And they sang about half of it was, you know, speaking her speech that she makes, which they translate. And then the rest of it was all these amazing, I'm used to these, but they're ones that I'm used to because I went to see her for every year for like 20 years. And so I'm used to those bhajan. So I turned it on Saturday, I think it was, and 4 hours of listening. And so I feel like I at least in my 2 hours
good.
Of being with the selfless self.
Good.
Did you get your virtual hug?
Oh, I wish I had. You know, she just is so lovely, but, you know, she didn't do any hugging, so I guess they're on lockdown over in India too, maybe.
Yeah, social distancing would make hugging a little bit
difficult.
Difficult. Hug you at 6 feet. Okay.
Yeah. She could still throw the flowers and the candy at you, though. What she does. She has Hershey's Kisses, and she throws them out, and you get a Hershey's Kiss and a flower petal for your hug. So that's, you know. Something we do. We look forward to it every year. She comes in July and to DC, And I've never missed it except maybe one or two times. So it's a huge, amazing, you know, gathering, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people, and everybody's just, you know, it's just lovely. We'll miss it. Hello there, Ram Verma.
How are you? I'm good. John, I have a question. Actually,
yes.
It's not a question, but I came into this field, say, around 3 years back by accident. Something happened in my office, and I started thinking in and previously I was known atheist. I actually not related to religion at all. Even I am Indian and Hindu by birth. But actually I didn't have any kind of feeling for religion or any God or anything. I was not visiting any religious places at all. But somehow I came into this field. So after that, I found my guru also, and a lot of understanding has come. Only problem is, I get understanding, it lasts for, say, a week. And then gradually it fades away. So what should I be doing to make it permanent?
Yeah, first off, religion is not really spirituality. Maharaj has said, you know, religion is a man-made thing. You came across religion when you came across with the body, but you're not body, you're formless. And to know yourself in a real sense is spirituality. That's the purpose of spirituality. A lot of folks get into spirituality from a body-based belief originally because seeking peace, seeking happiness, seeking tension-free life, basically because life is just not able to fulfill that selfless self, what selfless self devotion, that amazing kind of peace without a material cause. You know, Maharaj talks about all the time that we're kind of trained from a young age to look for peace, to look for happiness, to look for joy outside of ourselves through material things. Through money, publicity, sex, those sort of things. And we're basically kind of trained that way, conditioned to believe this. It's totally false because all of these, as Maharaj says, all needs, all requirements came along with the body. And you are not body. So all relations came along with the body. You are not body. And accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. Nothing is there. When you start to experience this peace, it's a good progressive step, but there's still an experiencer of this peace. Understand yourself as formless. Everything in this form-based illusion, the illusion of experience, is brought about because of identification with a body form. Prior to body, there was no experience, no experiencer. So everything that's experienced, everything that's seen, everything that's perceived, and all perceivables are within this bubble of illusion or this consciousness, whatever you want to call it. And you're outside of that. You're prior to all of this. Prior isn't even exactly correct, because when we talk about illusion and Maya and all these sort of things, these are things that are not. Things that do not exist. Your life, as you're living it, is not the reality. The reality was prior to this life, and reality will be after the experience of this life. But this current in between, Maharaj uses the example of something came out of nothing and returns back to nothing. Because it always was nothing, it was just an appearance of something. You're prior to all these experiences. even this experience, I am, or I exist, you are before that experience, because you have to be there for every experience to be registered. So that's why Maharaj always says, this birth of this I am, this birth of the feeling of existence, came to that that did not know, but was. And he uses the example, knock, knock on the door. Who's there? Nobody's there. But somebody has to be there to say nobody's there. You are prior to every experience, even the first experience, I exist, and not in this body form. You are formless. Always in, with meditation, with bhajan, that's what we were just talking about before, was bhajan, the meditation. Bhajan's very great because it provides the spiritual atmosphere, and it sort of shakes the body. It loosens up this body feeling, because that's the main thing, is this illusory concept of being within a body and this mind flow identified with that kind of keeps this perceived trappedness within this body. You are not body, you're formless. So as you continue to remain with yourself, continue to remain in the devotional atmosphere, and we can talk about also, like people say, Siva service and such. Basically what that's doing is it's saying, I am doing this, but I'm giving this to the higher power, or I'm giving this to the presence, or I'm giving this to the spirit that's working through me. I'm not actually doing anything. And this is good because it starts to loosen the grip of the egoistic sense of doership. Because of course there's no doer, no deed, you're formless.
That's right. So I have this understanding, and in meditation, I get complete peace. And even in normal days, most of the days, I am very peaceful. Most of the thing, worldly life, things doesn't affect me. But somehow there's this feeling that I have not reached. I don't know why. And actually, most of the time, earlier I used to have a lot of questions, but nowadays I don't have any question to ask from anybody. Some kind of fulfillment feeling is there that everything achieved in my life. And nothing to ask, nothing to know. But somehow, sometimes there is a feeling that I am not full.
That's only the mind playing tricks with you, still identified with a body form. If you're formless, how can you not be fulfilled? Knowing your formless nature, you invite the attention of the invisible listener. As Maharaj says, you do that with mantra, remaining with your selfless self through meditation, that sense of presence. You continually remain there. You're the knower of the sense of presence, and you just sit. You sit quietly with yourself. And discard these thoughts or these ideas, I'm not realized or I am realized or any of these, because then that's creating a duality where none actually exists. Or I'm not peaceful. Well, you are peaceful because you're beyond peace. All of these disturbances, Maharaj says too, the five elemental body. The five elemental body will experience some disturbances, some ups and downs, so to speak, but you're not a body. So you allow these things, you don't even need to notice them. The sun outside, some days it's sunny, some days it's rain, some days wind comes, some days there's flood when too much rain. All these things are five elemental, and they have nothing to do with you. You're the holder of the five elemental body. You know yourself as the sense of presence using body form, but you are not body. You're the formless holder of the body. Nothing can happen to you. There's no ups and downs for you. No inside, no outside for you. When we start speaking about the inner master and paying attention to the inner master, That's because there's still the remnants of belief in being a body. But you are not body, you are formless. You remain with that sense of nothingness, of peace, of just with your selfless self. Selfless self is self without self. There is no self there. And there's no one there to say there's no self. Because as soon as you say that, oh, look, I'm experiencing no self, then you've created the concept of duality, I am experiencing. If you keep with your own selfless self, then there's no experience, no experiencer. And as you're still using this body form until the essence can no longer be sustained because the body dries out or drops or whatever you want to call it, you're going to have this illusion of experiencing. But you know it's absolutely illusion. And so I don't need to take the touch. I don't need to go with the ups and downs. When something appears to be very important, I just have to remain with my selfless self because nothing's important and nothing's not important because there's nothing. And I don't have to keep reminding myself, as Maharaj says, you don't have to keep saying, I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man. You now know yourself in a real sense. All these things, you're the seer, not the seen. All of these are projected on your spontaneous presence. There is nothing other than your selfless self. And Maharaj rightly says, except your selfless self, there's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no Master, nothing is there.
Thank you.
Jai Guru.
Is it possible that after coming into this field, I read a lot of texts and that there were a lot of descriptions that this will happen, this that will happen. And probably those things didn't happen. And that is playing the trick in my mind.
Yes. All that's body knowledge. As Maharaj says, they're the map. You know, you use a map to get to your destination, but once you're at the destination, the map is no longer needed. All the spiritual books, all the spiritual talks, all these various things that you've kind of collected on your, quote, spiritual journey, once you've arrived and you know yourself in a real sense, throw them away. No knowledge is knowledge, as Maharaj often says. You know, you use these various different things as building blocks, but now you know they're body-based knowledge, and I'm not a body. So anything that this body has collected or any experiences this body has had are absolutely useless and untrue. I just remain with my selfless self. And the books, like Maharaj says, we don't want to add to the confusion field and give our mind, and that's why he always says, don't debate the masters. You know, Ramana Maharshi says like this, and Nisargadatta Maharaj says like this, and maybe, I don't know, some other guy says like this, and maybe Amma says like that. You don't want to debate. It's not a debate. Because when you start debating, the mind loves that. You're trying to keep this sense of being a body-mind alive by feeding it with information, sort of like pumping up a balloon. And then once this balloon is full, you don't want to give it up because, my God, I've spent, you know, 100 years on this journey. And if I throw it all away, that means it was for nothing. These are only the progressive steps. And that's why Maharaj says the books that are the best, so to speak, from our lineage, I Am That, Selfless Self, Ultimate Truth. Some of the ones, Ranjit Maharaj has Illusion versus Reality. The lineage masters, because they're not giving you like karma, dharma, chakra, kundalini, all this sort of stuff that's all body-based knowledge. Instead, all of these books point to one thing. Accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no Master. Nothing's there. You must discover this for yourself and discard all these illusory concepts. Be free of all these illusory concepts. No knowledge is knowledge. How are you free from these illusory concepts? The more you spend time with your selfless self, through meditation. And then as you see your daily life sort of arising and falling in this meditation, because you're remaining with your selfless self, then it's very easily discarded. Last week we talked about when the gold miners, they went out and they took a plate and put it in the mud to sift for the gold. That's the only use for this body. This body is to sift through and to remain with that presence, that sense of presence, that selfless self, and discard everything else. And quickly and easily, illusion is illusion, it does not exist. All of the problems are for the unborn child. The unborn child wants to live forever and wonders what will happen after it dies. But it's unborn. Since there was no birth, there can't be death. So this concept of what will happen when the unborn child leaves the body is completely and totally illusion. And you know this because you remain with your selfless self. You remain with that sense of presence that can be felt through the meditation. It's what's under all the thoughts. It's what's under all of everything, because everything is appearing on that spontaneous presence. And you just discard, discard, and remain with your selfless self. And then that's what Maharaj talks about, selfless self-intoxication. Because that incredible peace, that very, very deep and profound, just inner joy without any material cause, that's the gold. You know, you remain with your selfless self. Somebody says, oh, why don't you get involved in politics? Like Maharaj says, oh, no, no, no. Thank you, thank you. I'll just remain with my selfless self. Somebody says, oh, you know, you're not very successful. You should go out and strive to be something more. Oh, no, no, no. Thank you. I'll just remain with my selfless self. As actions arise spontaneously in the moment, they're just like picking up the water, drinking, and putting it back down. They're not thought about. And 2 seconds later, they're not thought about. You're not thinking about, oh, I just had some nice water, or let me get more water, or I want more water, or what if I run out of water? No, you're having some water and you're putting it down. All actions are spontaneous actions. You'll start to see all the scenes just coming before you, and you'll react appropriately in the moment, responding, and then go back to quietude. Respond, go back to quietude. No one will be able to take you away from your selfless self, because you'll know, deeply know, there is nothing except your selfless self.
Das Bode speaks of that intoxication. He uses the word satisfaction. And it makes me remember, there was a song, I think it was Mick Jagger or something, like, can't get no satisfaction. I think that, you know, it's the five elements plus the three gunas. And I think the all the activity is just the interplay of the gunas. And we don't have anything to do with it, basically. Just that's the happening, or that's with the... the actions that are happening, the things that are being done, are just that interplay of the five elements and the three gunas all sort of doing their thing, you might say. And we simply are totally out of that.
Well, and like Maharaj has said, again, if we talk about gunas, there is only sattva guna. Sattva guna in action, or in movement in within sattva guna, which is presence, you can call that rajas guna, you know, action, activity. Mm-hmm. Now, thinking about the fact that you performed the action or the activity or taking credit for this is the tamas guna, where I did this thing. So there's stillness and presence, there's movement, and then there's the mind flow of I did this. So this movement came about because of me, and that creates tamas. And so, to again, you are not body, so all of that is within the five elemental sort of sleigh. And what it is, and I think it talks about that in Das Boot as well, in that description of it's just sattva. And then there's a movement, a feeling of existence, and the concept of duality arises. And then there's the sense of doership, which is tamas, because the sattva is just nothing, movementless. There's absolutely, it's the absence of everything. Then rajas is there's some movement or some stirring, which creates the concept of duality of there's movement. There's not actually movement, but that's the concept, the guna. Then the tamas is taking credit for the actions that have arisen spontaneously as my actions. So when you remain sattva guna, and that's why you'll see a lot of, I think we talked about before, especially a lot of Americans, when they're on the spiritual journey, growing the hair long, putting the red raksh beads, like myself, before I met Maharaj, and going to India to have this like spiritual trek. And then the belief is that I shouldn't work. I should just be, you know, totally like non-doing, because the non-doership becomes a concept. Even at work, you can say, oh, I can't do anything. I just need to sit. But that's now non-doership has become a concept.
So it's like doing, it's like doing not doing.
Yeah, not doing anything on purpose. And then taking credit for what a great non-doer you are, because you're deeply in the spirituality. So this is a little bit problematic. So that sattva guna, especially, you see all the time, you can go online and see on Facebook and all of sattva guna exploding and causing this, which is good, you know, because you're getting away from rajas and tamas. You're trying to develop and more in the sattva. And the sattva is the spiritual atmosphere, bhajans, pleasing the spirit with mantra, remaining with your selfless self. But the reality is sattva is presence, quietness, absence of all. There are no gunas.
That's pure sattva. Mm.
Yes, yes.
Concerning Das Bode, it's one book I haven't gotten around to getting yet. And I can never figure out, there's supposed to be two versions and one that Ramakant recommended. Does it really make a difference? Or?
He doesn't like the one with the little feet. And I think the one that says something about a servant, that's a different word in the one that he recommends. I honestly have not seen, I only have the one with the little feet. And I read that occasionally in the, as a matter of fact, I used to read it every day when I was commuting on the metro before being quarantined or whatever you want to call it, you know, working from home. But that I believe that's a good book. So it just depends. Like the Master of Self-Realization that we were all passing around, that's the one that Maharaj highly recommends. He also doesn't like the one with the little feet.
There's the translation by, I think, I have both of the Das Bodes. I have the one with the little feet as well. And the other one is by an Indian, the one I think that Maharaj recommends or recommended was the one by, I think his name is Gay. I have it, I can grab it. But it's his English is not so good. I mean, it's okay. He also translated Ek Nath Bhagwat, which I purchased some years back, and which is a thick book. And it's really a beautiful book in the sense that it's like almost like reading, see the whole history of this, everything. It's just, you know, with Dattatreya, Krishna, it's just incredible. However, the English translation is not as readable as, you know, like maybe someone that's more in tune with English language or whatever. But I think either one would do well.
Then it may be, if it's not as in tune, that maybe the author added some extra words or made it more of a conversational type English and didn't go, like, and that may be why Maharaj said.
Yeah, could be.
Because I know, like, some of the Nisargadatta Maharaj books, some extra little things of the author kind of seeped in there amongst the various talks. And Maharaj said, you know, you have to be careful of this. Of course, from the stage where everyone is now, we should be able to discern this quickly and easily. The idea behind all the words is you will have the recognition and the projection. You'll be pleasing the spirit. As Maharaj talks about, you read the reader. That sense of presence will be felt extremely strongly while you're reading your own story. And you read it in that way, that, oh, so that I am that. The same with, I am that. When you read it from the perspective, and I remember talking with Maharaj, reading it from the perspective of the consciousness, asking the consciousness about why it's in this body form, why it's experiencing these various things, and then the consciousness knowing that it has no body form, speaking to the consciousness and saying, no, 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 you're not body. And that's the basic dialogue. And if you start to read all of the books like this, the I Am That, the Siddharameshwar, everything, you start to say, okay, of course, the master absolutely realizes he is not body. And that's the consciousness within that form that absolutely knows it has no form. And then you have the consciousness in various different belief stages of it believing of having material problems or having, you know, not understanding, not really getting it or getting it intellectually or whatever you want to call it. So the formlessness within that form has this belief that it's not quite getting it. But the master knows that it's the same presence that's within the master that is within the body form that's in, before, that is saying, I don't get it, or I get the presence sometimes. Sometimes I get the peace, sometimes I don't get the peace. Because everything, Das Bodh is very beautiful. Always in the last of the chapter, it says, okay, now this doubt is cleared. The doubt may be about what are the gunas. The doubt may be about creation. The doubt may be about the relationship between the disciple and the master. All of these doubts are body-based. And they're easily cleared throughout the entire chapter. It's basically eliminating this thought process of being a body-based. And that's why it says, that doubt has been cleared. And now please pay specific attention to the next chapter. And specific attention to the next chapter then is a question from the disciple who is actually the formless presence, who is having this little bit of doubt that the formless presence is not the formless presence and that it's actually that body. The master knows it's just the presence. There's a little confusion there because of long association with the body, that there's the belief in body-based knowledge and concepts that just has to be cleared.
So John, I actually still struggling with why I should be doing anything. Long time back, this feeling came that now I have achieved everything. My life is fulfilled and I should not be doing anything. Because most of the time I was and I am always peaceful and happy. And because of this reason, I went to Rishikesh to take sannyasa. That now what is left? Inwardly life to achieve, but somehow that didn't happen, and I went to Inchigiri, one of the Swami Avadhutanand Maharaj, and took the initiation. But this feeling is still there. What I should be doing now?
Well, every question is a doubt about your formlessness, and you're formless. The more you remain with your selfless self, Maharaj would call this spontaneous conviction. Until you have spontaneous conviction, all these things are necessary. Even the peace, you're still experiencing the peace, which means that you can experience this peace because we're still in that duality world of peace and dispeace, joy and sadness, and all these sort of things. We're still taking the touch of that. With the conviction, spontaneous conviction, this will disappear. Yes, there will still be feelings, but there won't be a feeler there. You know, there won't be any place for these feelings to land. Even peace will take on a whole new meaning because it will be coming regardless of the outside. You know, something could say, oh, your car is on fire and it's very terrible. And yes, you react. You say, oh, that's not good. I should put my car out, because that's a natural response to your car is on fire. But you don't sit there and bemoan it and think about it so much, because there's a spontaneous conviction that I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain the body. Body's not my identity. All body-based relations are untrue because I'm not a body. All body-based knowledge is untrue because I'm not a body. But that doesn't mean, like Maharaj says, you still do your job, do your duties, love your family. If you're a family man, you are probably going to be very good at family man, because now you're not bothering other people with all your illusory problems, because those body forms have their own illusory problems that they're thinking about. You don't need to do that anymore. So now you just keep with your selfless self, and it will turn up the heat. The closer you get to your selfless self, that's when things around you will appear to be turning up the heat. They'll appear to need your attention just a little bit more. Or like in my own case, there was a sickness. I got horrible food poisoning, and there was a demand to pay a lot of attention to the body, which, thank you, Master, I remained at the Master's feet through the food poisoning and did not take the touch of food poisoning, and remained with my selfless self, remained with mantra, and remained at the feet of the Master, and allowed the food poisoning to be in the body and do what it was going to do with little to no concern. Driving to a foreign hospital with Master in the car, the whole way, mantra, remaining with mantra. Other than occasionally Maharaj would look out the window and point some place, you know, that we're driving to the hospital, he'd point out some place and say, oh, this is such and such a place, or that river, or something like that. But other than that, just remaining with my selfless self. Sitting there and having the IV put in, and then Maharaj says, I'll be back in the evening time, and I'm sitting there in a foreign hospital with the IV, but I'm not experiencing this because there's no thought about it, because I'm remaining with my selfless self. And these are the types of experiences that spontaneous conviction will deeply impress, just as this long association with the body impressed, I'm this person named so-and-so. Now this spontaneous conviction will deeply impress, I have nothing to do with this illusory world. And yet I can still do my job, do my duties. I don't have to keep walking around saying, I am Brahman, Brahman I am, or I am everything. And I don't have to tell people. Like, I don't have to have that desire of, oh, let me go tell everybody that, you know what, it's illusory world. Or your business partner or a friend. And you say, oh, you know what, it's very sad that that family member died, but you know what, it's all illusion anyway, so don't worry about this thing.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to say this either, because you just remain with your selfless self. This fountain of peace without any material cause. Because as Andrew had stated, I can't get no satisfaction from nothing from the material world because I'm formless. That's the reason. Formless and form can't mix. All of this spontaneous world, this illusory experience of the world, appears on your spontaneous presence, you're formless. Like the space in the room is not experiencing, nor does it know any of the objects within this room. It just is. And without the space in the room, there'd be no objects, there'd be no room. And Maharaj says the concept of separation is brought about by the false belief in being a body form. Also, the illusion of experience is because of this false belief of being a body form. You are not body, you are formless. There is no separation. Maharaj uses the example all the time of this body, that body, and these bodies is the same as the walls. In the walls, if the walls in the ashram fall down and the walls in the toilet fall down, does the space in the toilet go to hell and the space in the ashram go to heaven? No, it's all one space. It appeared to be separated by walls or appeared to be separated by body, but there's no separation. That's why even to say leaving the body is not exactly accurate, because this body is appearing within you. You are not in it.
So there is this strong conviction of witnessing state that I am having most of the time, but during daytime when I mix up the people and involved in my job, then the witnessing goes away. So then again doubt comes, no, it is not permanent. There should be something more.
Only the doubt which needs to be removed. And that provides a good example, because I think it was Siddharmeshwar Maharaj, Nisargadatta Maharaj had written a doubt and he didn't want to send it to Siddharmeshwar Maharaj. And so he gave it to another devotee, and the other devotee sent the message. And then Siddharmeshwar Maharaj says, oh, whose doubt is this? And Nisargadatta Maharaj says, oh, it's my doubt. He says, oh, what a doubt for you. And after that, he had no doubts. Because you see, the only thing that's causing this appearance of I am not having a permanent state of statelessness or reality is the doubt. Remove this doubt. Whatever this doubt is, you remove it. That's the whole purpose of the question and answer. Removing doubts, like you're weeding a garden. Every doubt, you just pull it and toss. Because there is no valid doubt, because you're formless. So everything that's happening in this form-based illusion that could cause a doubt is absolutely false, because again, you're formless.
What it means, I'm lacking awareness sometimes, and then and that's when these things are coming up. So as you suggested, I should be more aware of, and probably then this will go away.
Yeah, and there's no way you can lack awareness, because it's just you're putting your attention on something else, but the awareness is the background, or the presence. The presence is the background of everything. Behind everything, there you are. So even what these surface things are, don't get involved in them. But like we said, I'm not losing myself to drink this water. Or if I were to drink this water and maybe somebody put some salt in it and I go, oh, yuck, this is salty. I'm not losing awareness. I'm not losing presence. Because it's like a wave where here is the surface and it's dancing. The deeper you go in the ocean, it's calm and still. So these surface things are happening even on the ocean, but it's not disturbing the deep. And that's the same. Spontaneously in the moment, some action is performed and left. And you're not sitting there wondering about expectation of how this action is going to affect, whether it was a right action or wrong action, or give this to God action, or any of these sort of things. You're just, the action is here, spontaneously in the moment. And if it does bother someone and they say, hey, that wasn't a nice thing, then spontaneously in the moment, you apologize. Oh, so sorry. So sorry. And that's it. But it doesn't bother the mind. It doesn't cause the flow of thought, because there's no identification with the body mind or the sense of doership. You're formless. The body-based illusion is absolutely untrue. you don't experience, because the only way you can experience is through the illusion of the body-based existence. Otherwise, you're formless. So, prior to body, you're formless. Right now, you're formless. After body experience, you're formless. Nothing's changed. Just this something that we appear that is so important, we call a life, our life, what happens to me, but this is the something that's appearing in the nothing, and we'll go back into the nothing because it was nothing. All along, nothing is there.
Thank you. So with this, what happened, conflict with the people and environment had reduced tremendously. So I don't have, most of the time I don't have, earlier I used to feel violated in conflicting situation, but I think right now in a day, one or two instances, otherwise I don't feel any conflict. Nobody opposes or I don't resist anything.
Good, good.
So that might be the reason that there is no conflict.
Good, good, yes. Yeah, I talked about previously being on the metro, somebody steps on your foot, and you watch this mind flow of how dare this person step on my foot. But it goes very quickly because you know that the self itself is in this body form, stepping on this body form, and it's the same. And even higher than that, if I take the touch, I have to give myself away for an illusory experience that's not true. No, I remain with myself as self. It's a one-man show. Presence is moving everything about, providing the energy, providing everyone's going in the stream of thought and saying, this is my thought, and therefore it appears like we're doing something and living a life. It's all not true because you're formless. And as you deeply know yourself in a real sense, thought will be gone. Because thoughts about what? How can you think about the formlessness that you are? There's nothing, there's no thought. You, like Maharaj says, you use ego, mind, and intellect sparingly, like a pickle. You know, you go to the sub shop and they say, oh yeah, so have just a little bit pickle, please, but not so much. So ego, mind, and intellect, you use sparingly like pickle.
Is this a trap that I know myself? Because I don't know. I don't have this feeling that I know myself. The behavior has changed.
Well, you're inviting the attention of the invisible listener. Because you, Ram, your behavior is not... The only way for you to experience these sort of things is for the selfless self to be realizing that it's illusory. It's not that you can sit there and say, oh, somebody bothers me, but I'm going to remain with myself. Because then there's that Rajas Tamas Guna that's getting involved very strongly because your identification with the body that is not going to get disturbed. You can only do that for so long, you see. You can't fake not being disturbed because eventually, like Maharaj gives the example of the great saint, he was going to a bath and this guy, he said, aha, I will irritate him. And he spat on him. Every time he came back from the bath, he was in a tree, he spat on him. And this guy just went back and forth and had 50 baths and did not get disturbed. Finally, the guy from the tree came down and bowed to his feet and said, I have been trying to disturb you, but I cannot. And the saint said, oh, you have allowed me to have 50 baths. Thank you. Just like Buddha says about, you know, oh, ma'am, you're trying to disturb me. Your anger, you're still holding the anger. If I give to you a present and you don't receive it, whose present is it? And it's the same. So selfless self spontaneously manifesting this presence, remaining with your selfless self, Maharaj talks about the symptoms of realization will be coming. You'll see these. You just see these. And he has that on the website. I can't remember all of them, but it's like the peacefulness, forgive and forget. Devotion will come, spontaneously devotion. The wanting to know the reality, that deep desire to know the reality. And then, of course, the selfless self-devotion, the inner selfless self. Like I've spoken about before, I have the picture of the master. All over my house, I have pictures of master. And anytime I go by, I bow. Because that master is my own selfless self. Sri Ramakant Maharaj was this presence, this selfless self that came and said, you know what? You are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain body. Body is not your identity. So this sense of presence that you're feeling using this body form, you're not the body. Well, now you know there's presence. You know this peace. You know this I am, so to speak. So discard everything that's not that, because that is all there is. And Master tells you, you are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. Body is not your identity. Except your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no Master. This presence that you are feeling, the entire world has been projected simply because of that, and that you are. So all of these things, all these illusory happenings, nothing's happening.
One last question. So earlier when I think what I am, I used to have a lot of I am this, I am that. But right now, if I think who I am, I draw a blank. There is no answer.
Yeah, you're nothing. And not to be rude, because a lot of people will say, I'm nothing. Well, that's very insulting. No, but you're nothing. There is nothing. And that's the highest truth. Anything that says or you say, I am this or that, no. You simply are. And you are everything. Your presence is in every being because you're formless. And these different body forms are just the appearance of separation of the formlessness that cannot be separated. Bhagavad Gita talks about cannot be burned, cannot be cut, cannot be torn. Nothing can happen. You are the presence and you are all there is. And everything that appears to you, the seer is the reality, the seen is not. And you can't have the seen because you are formless. So these things that you're seeing, that you're paying so much attention to, create the concept of body pressure of I am a body in a world. Just the same as the space in this room, this is a dead body, and suddenly comes to life and says, oh, I exist. It's the space in the room that knows of its existence, but sees its existing through this body form, saying I am in this body form, believing itself to be this body. And Maharaj talks about the ants. The presence within the ants believes that when the water comes, if the body is destroyed, the presence is gone, because presence only knows itself in the form of an ant. And in the human body, you see the presence in the human body sees other bodies dying, sees other bodies being born, and believes then in the concept of birth and death. It's not true. The only thing that's true is this sense I am or I exist. This sense of presence that you can feel through the body form, only through the body form and the illusion of duality, because if you're all of everything, you cannot know yourself. You are everything. So through the illusion of duality, once clicking with a body and saying, I exist, then there's the knowingness that the formlessness exists. The only little mistake, as Maharaj says, is the belief that I am this body. Just because I know I exist does not mean I'm this body form. The illusion of experience created by observing a body form and believing this body to be myself creates the sense of doership, of doing good things, doing bad things. Of course, the needs and requirements for God, the needs and requirements for hell and heaven and all these sort of things, because the unborn child starts contemplating about its existence and wants to exist forever. But unborn is non-existent. There is no birth, no death. The appearance of birth and death take place in the something that is for a time appearing within the nothing. It's not true. Once you know yourself as formless, you are unborn. You are not body. How can the formlessness be born? Not. Formlessness just is. The body, when it falls, it's not a death. The body dries up, like we talked about the bananas sitting on the counter. Bananas dry up and get gushy, and that's it. And the essence or the life force is no longer in those bananas, but is it all around in everything else? Because it's one formlessness in which all these forms appear and disappear. You are the constant. Your presence is behind everything. Jai Sadhguru.
Well, it's 8:16.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, okay. Yes. Okay.
Okay,
good,
guys.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.